the ricochet effect, ricochet effect. It's the ricochet effect, ricochet effect.
Greetings, all. Welcome back to another wonderful episode of The Ricochet Effect. I am in studio. I am Dr. Abini Alamin, and I'm with
the one and only Terry Dumford.
Hey, we are in the house with Mr. Doyle Lee. He is a native of Lexington, Kentucky, whose roots have been in the community through the church as a second generation PK. Mr. Lee's grandfather, the late Reverend A.B. Lee, pastored the Greater Liberty Baptist Church for 45 years. Mr. Lee gained his secondary from being awarded a basketball scholarship as a result of being mentored by his uncle Charles W. Givens. He gives great reverence to family and the support that they have given him through his life. And I think that he will express much of that in this podcast and in this time with us. Mr. Lee is also the founder of Hearts, a local nonprofit organization with a mission to mentor the youth and those that are transitioning back to society as a result of being a victim of trauma, maybe himself, and then also assisting other victims of trauma, substance abuse, and incarceration. Mr. Lee presently works as an administrator for the Voyage Movement and is part of One Lexington Mentorship Program, as well as the MLK Academy, Success Academy, the Learning Center, and the STEAM Academy schools, where he provides mentoring and outreach for that community. He is a peer support specialist at the Tracy's House Recovery Center. Mr. Doyle Lee, welcome to The Ricochet Effect.
Thank you. Good afternoon. How's everyone?
Hey, 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 man. Good to see you.
No complaints here.
So where do I begin? You've said a lot already. Wow, yeah, I grew up here in Lexington. And like you said, I was a second generation preacher's kid. I guess humanitarian work was entrusted on me from the church. And then, like you said, through my uncle Charles W. Givens, it was like I got the preaching at the church, and I actually got implementary strategies from him through the work that he was able to do at the Salvation Army, which was the community center that I grew up in. So doing the service work is just like who I am, serving people, being a part of the community and knowing the families and having the family ties here in Lexington is just something that I inherited.
Well, this is wonderful. I noticed that in the introduction, Terry, you want to jump in here. I know that you guys are really great friends. And right. I mean, just in terms of the camaraderie that you guys share, I know you have a couple words that you probably want to throw out here on behalf of Mr. Lee.
I mean, I don't know. You know, he always talks about Batman and Robin. You know, it's like my brother. So I'm just happy to be able to continue to shine light on what he does. He's very humble. So a lot of what we've done has been, my organization has been in the forefront, and he has an amazing organization. I can't wait for everybody to hear more about. We always say they one and the same, and they are, you know, but just, you know, this is his baby. So I can't wait to just hear what he has to say about his organization and share that with the world.
Right. And so that's one of the things that we do here at Project Ricochet. And with the Ricochet Effect is that we want to bring and highlight the work that we are all doing around a central mission. And that's really to make central Kentucky and the state of Kentucky and even the world better. So talk to us a little bit about what Hearts is and break that down for us. And then talk to us about the work that you're doing with Hearts and in the community.
Hearts was birthed during my time in incarceration as I reflected on how does somebody coming from the background that I came from, having an associate's degree, and I'm sitting here trying to be an attribute or be the best person I could be as I'm growing in this space. And what I found out was, just like the work that we do, is disparities up and down the spectrum. And then there's very few people that know how to articulate or communicate their issues. And as a result, I believe God put on my heart to birth HEARTS, and HEARTS is an acronym for helping everyone achieve resilience through support. I like to say at HEARTS, we're into saving lives one beat at a time. And so what I learned, I guess, from the church, and what I learned hanging out with my uncle for so many years at the community center, was that I think I've been called to be a liaison for those that are in the community that really would like to have their issues communicated, and then, you know, have them communicated the right way in the right spaces.
I like it. I can see that a lot in a lot of what we do. The wordsmith for sure. I got a question for you here. What is the most exciting or rewarding part of the work that you do?
Wow. The most exciting work that I do, and I know Terry's probably heard me say this before, and he said it, but just being able to connect the resources that are available in the community systematically. And we like to call that giving back. And it moves what we may identify as work to being a mission, to be able to get up every day knowing that what kind of inspires us is that we will be able to impact somebody each and every day.
Yeah, so one of the things that we see the Ricochet Effect podcast in doing is it's a historical account of the work that people are doing in the community. And this work, in many cases, it comes from a crux or a critical mass of something that has occurred mm-hmm. within the person's life or in the community. And like in the case of Project Ricochet and youth murders in our society, it was just right. like a bunch of community folks came together and said, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. So for you, what challenges have you faced in your journey, and how have you overcome some of those challenges to be the great man that you are today?
That's right.
The biggest challenge has been really creating a system where the support for those that need assistance can be streamlined without individuals being overlooked and given the runaround. And so what we've tried to do is remove those roadblocks and to be the relationship that the families in our community need, and then be the relationship that the organizations that may have the resources that some of the community could take advantage of be. Because sometimes you need both. The people in the community need a strong representative, and then those that have the resources that don't know those families. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you have organizations that would like to contribute, but they want to contribute to be able to contribute to something that they know that their contribution will impact someone. So I guess the biggest challenge is creating that system.
I liked it. I like it. So what role do community partnerships play in achieving your mission or goals? Because you just spoke a little bit about that. So those dynamics, how important is that on a day-to-day?
It's essential because the community partners who I would say champion a lot of those, the programming and a lot of the mission that we support, they play a very essential role because of clearly, you know, I don't have all the resources, neither do you, Terry, or Dr. Elamim, you don't. But when we create those relationships and we build off those relationships, and it's sad that in our community there's a lack of loyalty and trust. So mm-hmm. when we can befriend those families and say, you know what, Project Ricochet is doing that, a lot of times they are willing to listen and take some of our advice. So the community yeah. partners, I can't minimize the role that they are able to play.
I totally agree. I mean, just even last week, someone said, well, in nonprofit spaces and in this ecosystem, resources are limited. And I said, I humbly disagree, because all I have to do is reach out to a community partner mm-hmm. or a governmental agency or even an individual or you know, I don't want to leave out the faith-based communities
right.
for assistance. And pretty much within a matter of seconds and just a simple phone call, then whatever I'm trying to accomplish is achieved because of the strength of community partnerships. We have to think about capacity building differently than monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in people power and human resource capacity that we're thinking about making a real impact in the community, but also the things that we can provide or the food that we can provide or even services.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I mean, there are so many resources and we do the great work that we do through partnering. And that's one of the reasons why we want to bring you here to the Ricochet Effect, because you're doing a lot of great work with HEARTS and some of the athletic programs that you brought to the fold, and then you're envisioning and the spirit that you bring to the community. So
I think it's essential.
Absolutely.
I think they have to go hand in hand. I guess one of the things that I've learned throughout this process is the importance of not only building relationship, but having an open mindness to sustain those relationships. Because, you know, on this journey, we're continuing to learn. And so I'm excited every day to learn about a new partner and what a new partner may have going on, and really delve into the program to see, you know, where we can grow it, expand it, because the strength is in gathering the families in the community and pointing them in the right direction.
Well, you're absolutely right. So much of the work that we all do within our distinctive nonprofits and then in our partnerships is that we work to address inequalities or inequities in health, education, as well as even in your case, in the faith-based realm.
Mm-hmm.
So how does your work specifically with HEARTS contribute to addressing inequities in health?
Doing the community, being a certified community health worker, what I've been able to identify is that, again, a lot of the families that we work with in the community just don't know what's out there. And so when it comes to diabetes, and a year and a half ago, we were really pushing for women to make sure that their mammograms and in our community, that they go to find out the resources that are out here. I forgot her name over at the Cancer Marquee Center.
Are you thinking about Elizabeth?
Not Elizabeth, but Khadijah.
Mm. Yes, that's right.
And Khadijah was, you know, like a campaigning to make sure that, you know, we point our young ladies into that direction of being transparent when they're going to the doctor and being comfortable with their bodies, and then identifying some of the things that's going on with the changes so that we can get ahead of cancer and all these different other things when it comes to our health. I'm a girl dad, so I was really keen on trying to learn, you know, how to be educated in that space for my daughters. And so I really like the fact that, again, our community being so small, if we would just put ourselves in position to identify with what organizations are doing, people want the help. They want us to communicate what they have going on with the families that are in our neighborhoods and stuff. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time. Really, it is.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot going on out here. You kind of hinted to this a little bit with the last statement that you made, but can you share a specific story or moment that illustrates the impact of your work?
I thought about what I'm most proud of, and I being able to create something in 2025 that doesn't exist. You know, kudos to what we're doing with the Voyage Movement, and I'm excited that we have an alternative sentencing program that are getting results above the national recidivism rate. And so I guess that's the one thing that I'm most proud of, that we actually got a sustainable system right now, that we're credible in the court systems from the local, state, and federal levels. And then to see what we are implementing affect a life where a gentleman has come home gainfully employed, on his way to marriage, has a family and doesn't want to be in the criminal lifestyle anymore. And that's, you know, through the curriculums that we share with them. So I'm most excited, can I say stoked, about that that work at that we do with our alternative sentencing program. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, you know, so much of the work, so getting a little bit back into thinking about partnerships and connecting the dots, it's what advice would you give to individuals or even organizations looking to make a meaningful impact in their communities based off from your experiences working in all the different realms, again, public health and education, and even in the faith-based spheres?
I guess, and I may have said this, if I was at a forum and you asked me that question and we had a lot of organizations there, I would definitely stay on this mountain. Be very creative in sustaining and building relationships. I know sometimes when we're dealing with a lot of leaders and leadership, sometimes we can be, you know, one-sided, or we can have just our own tunnel vision. But I think that every leader that's involved in this space has something to where I can learn from. And I believe that being creative to sustain the relationships, don't let something that you may be a misunderstanding prevent you from being able to learn from that person, because essentially that's going to affect somebody's life that I believe that we've called to influence and impact.
Man, I mean, I agree, and I like it.
Well, I was just going to say that we were very strategic of putting this question into our lineup, because I think that, you know, one of the taglines that we have here at Project Ricochet is Stronger Together, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that came to be because of many of the conversations that Terry and I had a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that you and I have had,
mm-hmm.
in regards to, you know, we can all do all this great work alone, but in terms of really elevating the community and individuals and certainly our future,
mm-hmm.
it's really going to take all of us coming together, strategizing, being transparent about the things that we're envisioning, and to see how that we can tag each other or to align so that, as Terry always says, if one person does a little, mm-hmm. then
nobody has to do a lot.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, because it gets rough, man. It gets rough. You got highs and lows. So how do you personally stay motivated and inspired to continue working towards your goals?
I stay motivated by reminding myself that this is a mission and not work. Staying educated. Staying educated with the needs and then learning from others. Again, I can't belittle that. There's so many different facets of humanitarianism out there, so many different ways to get it done. And I try my best to glean what I can from everyone so that I can, you know, be more impactful. For me, to the souls that God has kind of entrusted us with.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of opportunity out here for growth, mm-hmm. both in the work that we do and trying to help others, but also and even trying to elevate ourselves. And so what do you see as the biggest opportunities for growth or innovation in the work that you do?
I thought about this, and I keep going back to liking the opportunity to create something that don't exist. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work in those spaces, but the fact that we've been, again, challenged with building something that don't exist, we have the liberty to really customize our programs to cater to the needs of the individuals that need our help. And I believe that's what is the secret sauce for what we do, really getting at the grassroots level, picking up the phone, and just don't limit the opportunity to be creative as you can be, which being in that space, that there's no days off. of course, the phone could ring and it could be from the health side, or it can go all the way to the other end of the spectrum. But the fact that we're able to be creative in that space, I think that that's the number one thing for me.
Well, this is your opportunity to grandstand and to talk about your programs and maybe even to highlight some of your favorite programs, because you guys run quite a bit. And again, it's Hearts, it's Voyage Movement, it's you guys coming together. It's One Lexington. So there are all of these different entities that you're working with and through and tagging in and and building up on. And so, I mean, but I'll just stop here and say, what are your three favorite programs and why?
Okay. I like it.
So I'm going to start with the most favorite, which is in abstract, because we're building to present that. Training and development is at the core of what we do. I don't think that anything's going to be able to last or sustain without being trained and or developed. And so I have a sports background, and I'm looking forward to taking an entrepreneurial component to sports, which will be a cognitive skills training program. So what in essence I'm saying is that not only are we going to take the youth and allow them to play sports, but we're going to bring in, and you probably appreciate this, Dr. El-Amin, we're going to show them the entrepreneurial side of what they're able to do, coupled with the principles that you do on the field and on the court should be echoed at home and in the classroom and idealistically into your career. So we prepared a curriculum called Sports Theory that we're looking to start implementing hopefully next year in some of these spaces where our kids are already. And what we are tasked with is giving the coaches now more substance to be able to give the kid to be able to what further communicate what we're doing on the court. So that's my number one. Secondly, it's all about the babies. I'm excited about being able to go into the courtrooms and be identified as someone that they want to partner our youth up with, for the chance for them to be able to, as Terry and I often say, be a part of fathering a fatherless generation. I'm so pleased with the opportunity to do that. And then lastly, the homeless population that we're working with right now, where we've actually taken in over this last year almost like 35 bodies, and we have put them on the course to be able to come from homelessness, clean them up from substance abuse, get them gainfully employed, and idealistically be, you know, back where they would like to be as far as being citizens. So, you know, we are excited about that work right there. Thirdly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So looking ahead, what is your vision for the future, and how can others support or contribute to the vision?
The vision for the future is unity based. I really would like for us as an organization to have a community front, so that when we do come on the scene, people, you know, will say, you know, have some hope. Going forward, we're looking to do a few things. With the food, we're hoping to be able to purchase properties where we can grow our own produce at a high clip, and then inside on this acreage provide housing for more homeless and then be able to work from this place and just be able to contribute back to society. So I'm looking forward to that. And then lastly, hopefully here in the near future, there will be a school that we have control over that is separate from the traditional public school systems.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Doyle Lee.
I don't have to rap. I don't have to sing.
Do you want to?
No.
I mean, certainly we open the floor up for you to do that. We open the stage up for you. So one of the things that we're doing on this segment of Voices for the project Ricochet or the Ricochet Effect podcast is that I always like to leave our guests with a little bit of light mm-hmm. and love, because you guys give us so much. You mm-hmm. really do, not just to this podcast and but to the community. And so this poem is called The Field, and it goes like this. The Creator gave us the ability to create, develop, aspire, and inspire. What we do with this gift of right, light, might, at the beginning of a journey of fortune, it's up to each to discover their strengths and weaknesses. In this way, we will best understand how to defeat the worst enemy, the being, otherwise known as the self. And of course, the self is most critical of itself. If not careful, self will guard its core with ironclad ideas that could destroy. Ideas can constrict, tie off the circulation, and isolate the universe by reaching far beyond mediocrity and intrinsic thoughts. We are in the best possible position to pay to the Most High the most superb gift of obedience. And of that, we are then offered life.
When I
think of the work that you do, it really makes me think of this field. So when you talk about purchasing land, which is so much part of economic empowerment, self-sustainability, that's very important for any community. But when I think of Mr. Doyle Lee, I think of a field. I think of someone who's developing and growing and praying over our community for its health and its wealth.
I appreciate that.
So on behalf of the Ricochet Effect podcast, Mr. Terry Dunford and myself, Dr. Binyomi, thank you once again for being on this journey with us.
It was an honor. It was and is an honor. I hope I get invited back.
You sure will.
Sometime in the future, maybe I do have a poem. Maybe not one to match that. Who was that by?
That's by the infamous Dr. Elamine.
I knew you wrote that. I do want to say I appreciate you and Terry's, again, pioneering this space. And I'm looking forward to hearing other podcast here in the future.
No, not a problem. It's our pleasure. Take care.
Peace.
Yeah. It's the Ricochet Effect. Ricochet Effect.